In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Maybe it's just me. This is the first Sunday, though, that as I was turned facing towards the altar, I was hearing more and more of you chanting and singing. And I loved it. Because one day soon, we'll have the blessing to have our choir back. With us as a group, but you all are the choir. We all together, we offer our voices, we offer our prayers, our hymns to the Lord. Enite ton kirion. We praise the Lord with our voices and with our song. And so I encourage you more, even though I know you don't have the books, and one day soon we will, but let's all join in together, because that is pleasing to the Lord. Certainly was pleasing to hear that myself, and so I thank you for that. So we heard this gospel that we've heard again many times. I was thinking as I was in the car yesterday driving back from where we were this past week, and I was it was a long trip, so I had a lot of time to think. And I was thinking when I saw something somewhere about this book, this series about the language of love. And you may have heard about it. And we see so many in secular society, so many who espouse the importance of love. However they understand it, we hear this all the time. There's all sorts of seminars, songs, books, movies, teachings, all these different things that talk about love. And then, of course, in the church, we hear this all the time, as we should, about love. We hear it first and foremost from the words of our Lord. We hear it from the apostles, we hear it especially from John, but we also hear it from Paul in Corinthians about the wonderful, beautiful exposition on love. And then we understand the many different and varied understandings of love with the friendship or the filial, and with the romantic or the eros, and with the agape, the selfless, sacrificial love. So we are blessed in that we hear about and we understand, or we should understand, the fullness and the meaning of love. But today's gospel, there's no word love in there. In fact, it's to some harsh. It's difficult to hear. It's challenging to some, it's scary to others, it's not even to be heard about or thought about, even to others. But yet, we hear about it. And we are called to meditate on it. And it comes between the gospel that we heard last week that Father Peter spoke so beautifully, and I thank you for your words last week, for the sermon on the prodigal son. Because we speak and we hear, or we hear rather, about the mercy and the compassion of the Father towards the Son, of God towards His people, of our Lord towards us. And then next week we'll hear about, as we know, Forgiveness Sunday, about the beauty and the gift of forgiveness that we are thankful for, that we offer, that we receive. But yet this week, we hear about judgment. And so, what does it have to do with love? What does judgment have to do with love? What does separating the sheep and the goats have to do with love? All this week, if you've been following the epistle readings from this past week, they were from John's epistles, first and second epistles. And each one of them this week, he spoke about, or we heard about rather, love. And the different and the progression and the understanding for us who say that we are, who believe that we are, followers of Christ. And he tells us very directly how we should respond as followers of Christ. And so these epistles are there for a reason, as we know, and they lead up to this gospel passage we just heard. Because this is about love. It's about divine love. We've heard this before. We are created in love, by divine love. It was divine love, and I say this oftentimes at funerals, because it was divine love that we were first created. Divine love and love that our parents had, that we were created. But we are created in His image and His likeness. So we were created to first love Him, but we do so by loving one another. We know His commandments that He said, the greatest commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. When we love our neighbor, we are loving ourselves. But not how the world's telling us, with all this self-love, all this, it's about me. It's about me and my physical and my emotional and my financial and all those things that are there we seek and we are told to seek that comfort us and that are for us. That's not the love we're talking about. It's about seeing our Lord in each and every one of us that's our neighbor. And even those that we may not like. Even those that we may not agree with. And there's lots of that happening in today's world. There's lots of that. With what's going on in our country, in our systems, political and otherwise. And then with this pandemic, everyone has the answer. Everyone has the answer. Have you noticed that? Everyone has the answer. But yet it's from here to here. And how we treat one another in these instances, that's what this gospel's about. That's what our Lord is saying. Yes, there are people that are hungry. There are people that are thirsty. There are people that are needy. There are people that are in prison. There are people that are not clothed. How we treat each other reflects how we understand what our Lord is lifting up for us in this gospel. Father Stavros Akrotinakis offers some of words on this that I want to say, and I'm going to read from them because if I tried to remember them, I would forget them. But they're beautiful in the way he says it, and so I wanted to share those with you. He says, there are some specific actions that Christ calls us to take. We are to feed those who are hungry. Certainly this includes those who are hungry for food, like donating food for food drives or working at a soup kitchen. But those hungry for attention, offering our time. Those hungry for encouragement. Those hungry to belong. Those hungry to feel love. We are to give drink to those who are thirsty. This again includes providing food and drink to those who are hungry and thirsty. For instance, helping our local charities with food and with water. But there are those who are thirsty for knowledge. There are those who are thirsty for knowledge of God. There are those who are thirsty for hope. We are to welcome the stranger. This includes the new person who has joined our church, the new neighbor who has moved in next door, the new coworker who has started a job, the new student who has just moved to a school and come into our community. We are to clothe the naked. This includes donating clothes to those who are poor, but also building up people who have no self-esteem and who feel naked when it comes to confidence. We are to visit the sick. This, of course, is the easiest one to understand. Visit hospitals, visit people at home who are sick and suffering. We are to come to those in prison. This is the one that is easiest to do, but most often overlooked. It refers not only to those who are incarcerated. It's not easy to get cleared to visit a prison, and that we may not even know someone who is incarcerated, but there are people who live in prisons of poverty, of disease, of some disability. Are we kind and are we compassionate to those? He also says and offers this quote by a person known as Frank Outlaw, who was in the 60s a retailer, a grocer. And he said this quote, which really applies to putting our faith into action, to responding in love to our neighbor. He says, "Watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits. Watch your habits. They become your character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny." Powerful words. This is the essence. We are either going to follow this and it's going to be for the good, or we're going to follow this and it's going to be for the bad. We say this all the time. Habits are good and bad, but it leads to something. It leads to something that is destructive for us or good for us. Or it leads to something that is destructive for others or is good for others. This is the essence of the gospel today. To act in love because He first loved us. And then John reminds us one more thing. He says, if you say you love God, but you hate your brother or your sister, you are a liar. You are a liar. These are powerful words. And this is a powerful gospel we hear from Matthew. And we will hear more of this as we get into Holy Week. But it draws our attention. It brings us, hopefully, to a place where we recognize what our calling is. We recognize and understand, and we continue on in our journey, knowing that divine love that created us empowers us and strengthens us to love, to serve our neighbor, to love and to serve others. This is our calling. So may He strengthen each and every one of us to understand this, to live this, to practice this, to believe in this, and to continue on in our journey in life, knowing this and expressing this. Amen.